Hey, it's Kenny Mayne. I'm the host of Hey Mayne, the Kenny Mayne Talks to Famous People podcast. Season one's out there in the universe. You can go back in time, find anybody you want, as long as I interview them. Season two is coming up Thursday, October 13th. We got Keith Olbermann and Dan Patrick together again. Sue Bird is involved. Rex Chapman, Dan Le Batard, Katie Nolan, Allison Becker. Sorry for all the others I interviewed who I left out. Oh, yeah, Soledad O'Brien. She was good. Get it on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, it's Kenny Mayne. I'm the host of Hey Mayne, the Kenny Mayne Talks to Famous People podcast. Season one's out there in the universe. You can go back in time, find anybody you want, as long as I interview them. Season two is coming up Thursday, October 13th. We got Keith Olbermann and Dan Patrick together again. Sue Bird is involved. Rex Chapman, Dan Le Batard, Katie Nolan, Allison Becker. Sorry for all the others I interviewed who I left out. Oh, yeah, Soledad O'Brien. She was good. Get it on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour number three of our radio program. That's right. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Well, Rocket can. Let's chat a little college football right now with the ACC Network analyst. Also catch him on ESPN. Played for Clemson. And that's Eric Mackling, kind enough to join us once again on the Zach Gelb Show. Eric, how you been?
Zach, I'm living the dream, man. I tell you what, if I get an intro song like that, every radio hit I do, it's going to be the best radio hit of my life. Come on.
Well, I appreciate that. Man, you're inspiring us. You're getting us fired up with that way that you come into the show, so we do appreciate it. What was your reaction on Saturday when Dabo pulled DJ Uiagalelei and put Cade Klubnik in?
Yeah, man, I thought it was the right call. I know that it's something that probably sent some shockwaves and probably got a lot of eyeballs and a lot of attention, but Clemson had to do something. It was a move of desperation. It was a move of, we've got to do something to save our entire season. What's it going to be? What are we going to do? And they needed a spark. And so you make a quarterback change. And Zach, I thought that it was something that, DJ just didn't look himself. He just didn't look like the guy, that we had seen all season long with clean pocket presence, making great decisions, throwing the ball with unbelievable accuracy. And, why was that? I think you got to give a lot of credit to Syracuse. I think they disguised what they were doing. They got after him, made him move the pocket, and ultimately got their hands on the football and create a lot of turnovers that put Clemson in a really adverse situation, one that they had not been in this entire season.
We talked about this before, that it's not just DJ Uiagalelei for the Clemson struggles on offense the last 2 years, but this year in that stretch against Wake Forest and NC State, he showed a lot, and it looked like he has moved on fully from 2021, and then that 2021 DJ Uiagalelei popped right back up on Saturday against Syracuse. What is it with him that he's just not been that guy that we thought he was going to be?
Yeah, I think this year he has been outside of that game. And really, Zach, I thought, during the game and watching it live, I thought exactly what you just said. But it was different than a year ago, because when you watch it, he was making good throws. He was shooting darts downfield, connecting with his guys. And then it was just like a lapse in judgment. And on the first, interception to, 10 there, Joseph Ngata should have cut the route, shallow and came out, really flat instead. He kind of drifted. There was a ton of air, between him and the ball, and the DB slid right underneath and made it happen. On the second pick, Syracuse just confused him. They showed cover two. DJ kind of was blindly looking to the left and didn't see post-snap that they rolled to cover one. He thinks he has a tight end, screaming wide open. He leads him about 4 yards, and there's a safety just sitting right there. And so it was super uncharacteristic, man. I'm not on the company or in the fence of, going that he's reverted back at all. I think it was just, unfortunately, his worst day against the best defense that they've played so far. So when those two things add up, it's absolute chaos, and you see what happens. And unfortunately, he got sat down, and a young man came in and did enough. I don't think Cade Klubnik, did anything to win the day for Clemson. I think it was the team as a whole just came together, Z, and said, hey, we got to do something. Our guys, he's not doing it. We've got to come together. And you saw that from, Will Shipley, who went bananas and just absolutely balled out. And then a defense that you know, was absolutely suffocating in the second half.
Yeah, that's a great point that you bring up, Eric Macklin, because you're right. We were talking about this earlier. It's not like Cade Klubnik came in and played great, but the team just found a way to get the job done. Sure, he had a very nice throw on the two-point conversion. So this wasn't Caleb Williams replacing Spencer Rattler last year in Red River where you had to start in the next week. Do you buy Dabo? I know there's a bye week before Notre Dame that it will definitely be DJ starting up against Notre Dame.
Yeah, and I think, you know, why you can look at that as not just lip service is Dabo has stood behind this young man for an entire year, and it was terrible football, and he still defended him, saying, I know this guy's got it. I know this young man, you know, can do the things necessary. He's our guy. Even a year ago when, you know, everybody was probably calling for a change, let's do something different to get this going. So now, you know, when you look statistically, probably the second best quarterback in the ACC because of the down, you know, game, I think you sit him, you let him think about it, you get better, and then it's his team, it's his game, everything's just fine in 2 weeks against Notre Dame. It will be interesting to see mentally, though, is he able to just move on? You know, quarterback is a position, man, a lot like, you know, pitcher in baseball. Those are the two hardest, I think, in all of sport, that there's so much mental aspect of it. If he's having any doubts, if he's having any reflection back on that at all, I mean, he's going to struggle against Notre Dame. But I really, Zach, I don't see that happening.
Well, there's one thing for Dabo to vocally say that he's our guy, but he showed you that there can be a short leash up against Syracuse. So that could have a mental effect, because if Cade Klubnik, let's say, gets into Notre Dame and plays well, then how don't you go with the guy?
Yeah, well, I think that, you know, short leash, I mean, five turnovers is a lot, man. It honestly was the worst that, you know, you've seen him decision-making-wise play in quite some time. So I think the only way Cade would go in is if we see something of that nature. And again, I don't foresee that happening. Call me crazy, maybe it does. And then, you know, if Cade goes in and balls out, it's just Dabo Swinney has proved that he will do what's best for his team, not just, you know, this year in that game against Syracuse, but historically. I mean, 2014, he puts in a true freshman, Deshaun Watson, to kind of save the season there. In 2018, he replaces Kelly Bryant, you know, with Trevor Lawrence there, which ended up being a national championship year. I don't think this situation is anywhere close to either of those, but certainly it's an example of, you know, Coach Sweeney making a hard decision, replacing a senior, you know, for a younger guy.
If they do put in Cade Klubnik, could he win a national title? Because I look at Clemson right now, and they may very well go undefeated and get into the college football playoff, but they don't have the feel of a national championship contending team to me.
You know, I think, man, when I look at them and I see what Cade has been able to do, I don't think he's quite ready for that. I think he needs more time. But I probably disagree with you, obviously, being an alum, but also just covering this team and seeing, okay, what happened in Wake Forest? They had to go shot for shot with somebody. That's somebody like an Ohio State. What'd they do against an NC State team? They had to flex their muscles defensively and really be able to rile up and rise up and get that going. And then what did they do against a Syracuse team? Come back from 11 points, overcome five turnovers. So the testing is there. And this team, man, when you give them time to prepare, you know, look out in anybody's race, it could happen. So I'm not with you. I think certainly Clemson squaring the playoff race and thinking that, you know, they're going to be contending, no question.
Talking to Eric Macklin right now. I do think they'll get in, but this is like one of those years where I think the Big 12 is better than the ACC. I think the Pac-12 is better than the ACC. These debates they're going to be fun, because you know two SEC teams are going to get in. You know that either Michigan or Ohio State's going to get in. So that's one spot left. It's going to be fun in a month or two.
Sure. I mean, I don't know, man, about the Big 12 and the Pac-12. I mean, you know, the Atlantic has, you know, the most teams ranked of any division in all of college football. So that's a pretty bold statement. And then you see a North Carolina team, you know, that can score on anybody, that has the best quarterback statistically, you know, in the country with the things that he can do. So I think you need to take another look, man. The ACC is playing really well this year, and it's a lot of good complementary football. It's offense and defense. It's not just, you know, Big 12 will score 100 on anybody. It's complimentary, and these guys will hit you.
Who's the best team in the country, in your opinion?
I think Ohio State, man. I think, you know, everybody wants to say, hey, they haven't played anybody. Look at their schedule, this and that. Well, it doesn't matter, because they beat the crap out of everybody. Their offense is so explosive, and we saw them just go against an Iowa team that, You know, everybody was telling me, hey, this is going to be tough. It's going to be really hard to score on these guys. And then you see what they did. They absolutely obliterate them. I think, too, is Tennessee. I don't know how you can argue with, you know, their strength of record and the things that they've been able to do. And then I have Clemson 3, Georgia 4. So I'm excited, man. I think, like you, it's going to be a fascinating race, you know, to see who's in this playoff. And it's going to be a wild finish.
You put Clemson, I know they're a school, over Georgia, though?
Who has more ranked wins in the country? Clemson with 3.
Who wins, though, if they play tomorrow?
I saw that game a year ago when DJ couldn't sniff anybody. Georgia's not scaring me like they were a year ago, man. They're just not.
Okay, so at the end of the year, you think those four teams that you just said, that's what the college football playoff's going to be?
I don't know if two teams from the East would get in. I mean, you would have to see an amazing game between Georgia and Tennessee in the regular season, which surely that's going to happen. And then, of course, somebody going to have to beat Bama, Tennessee maybe for a second time, you know, Georgia for the first time. So Alabama, they always find a way, but I surely, man, would love, like you said, the Pac-12 and, you know, the Big 12 playing so well. I'd love to see a TCU, maybe an Oregon somehow. I know they play Georgia and everybody will lose their mind if, you know, they get in and Georgia just absolutely mopped the floor with them, but they've gotten better. So it'll be fascinating to see who the four get in. I'd hate in a game, in a year where everybody's playing so well, you know, just to give the SEC two because historical, whatever. Let's see who's playing the best football and make it happen.
I've been impressed this year, and before this season, I thought he was one of the more confusing players in college football, Bo Nix. And with after what happened in week one to Georgia, I would have never thought we'd still be talking about Bo Nix in a positive way this way into the year, but he's really responded. He's the most confusing player in college football.
He's hot or cold, baby. And you know, seeing her performance against UCLA, 5 touchdowns, just super gritty, man, is the best way to describe him. And, you know, a guy who's a great college football player that sometimes makes some crazy decisions. But I think that just is the beauty of this game.
Long term, where's your confidence with Marcus Freeman at Notre Dame, by the way?
Man, I talk to Jordan Cornette about this all the time. You know, the leading shot blocker in Notre Dame history. He hosts our show, The Huddle, on ACC Network. He's a very cerebral guy. And right now he's kind of, you know, he's sold on this guy's learning to be, you know, a head coach. He's learning to be a coach. He's a fantastic recruiter. He's learning how to, you know, manage and get going and all these different things. I think when you look at the recruiting class, it certainly is something where you can't debate it, because at the end of the day, if you don't have the Jimmys and the Joes, you're not much of a coach. So I think the jury's still out. It's certainly something where I didn't expect quite this, you know, from him in the opening year and to see this team. But quarterback play is important, man, and I think that they have well below average play at that position, and certainly why, you know, we're seeing some struggles with that team.
Wrapping up with Eric McClain on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. You brought up Alabama. I've never seen a year like this with Alabama. Uncharacteristics, penalties, turnovers in big spots, defense giving up big plays when the game is on the line. This is not what a Nick Saban program that I'm accustomed to.
No, it's really weird. I mean, you talk about giving up penalties. I think they lead the country in penalties, in penalty yards. I mean, it's nuts. It's very uncharacteristic. It's something that, you know, we I don't think have ever seen, you know, from a Nick Saban led team here. Their defensive backfield is super young, although very talented. Just guys that, you know, we saw Tennessee, I mean, just absolutely abuse those guys. So it's something where, you know, I think losing for them, and nobody wants to lose, but losing might have been the best thing that happens to them, to where, you know, we see this new, you know, focus and see a guy like Will Anderson just go absolutely nuts, you know, the rest of the year. I think one of the best, you know, college prospects we've seen in a while, just the abilities that young man has. So it's going to be fascinating. Like I said, this race at the end of the year, you can never count Alabama out until you have to, if they lose again, obviously. But, you know, it's just, you're going to see kind of a new flame from that team, I think, moving forward.
We talk a lot about with jobs on this show, Arizona State, Wisconsin, Nebraska. Eventually Auburn's going to open up at the end of this year. But inside the ACC, you know, Jeff Collins already got fired at Georgia Tech. Do you have a few names that you think maybe Georgia Tech should zero in on, since that's your conference?
Yeah, man. You know, it's super interesting with who they hired at the AD position. You know, a gentleman who, you know, has ACC roots, played soccer, won a national championship at, you know, the University of North Carolina, has had unbelievable success, in fundraising and getting really massive funds created and, you know, going for athletic departments and, you know, obviously having the history at Alabama with such a football focused, you know, university. I think when you look at it, man, that there's going to be a lot of attention on Deion Sanders, which is the obvious and easiest name to throw out there. But I wouldn't be shocked at all if we see like a Bill O'Brien, or given the guy that's there now and Brent Key, who is an Alabama guy. And I think, you know, Jay and he were there at the same time, a shot. It's cheap, it's safe, and then you can make another decision in a couple of years. So it's going to be fascinating to see where they go. I don't know if it has to be the splashiest of hires, but certainly someone who can get in this market, can get the recruits that is just a massive Atlanta area. You've got to lock that down and, you know, keep those guys staying at home.
Eric McLean from the ACC Network. Always enjoy our conversations. Thanks so much.
Yeah, appreciate you, brother. Have a great night.
There you go, Eric McLean, former Clemson offensive lineman from the ACC Network, joining us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll take a break. We'll come on back. And we'll update you on the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. We call that segment the News Brief.
Hey, it's Kenny Mayne. I'm the host of Hey Mayne, the Kenny Mayne Talks to Famous People podcast. Season one's out there in the universe. You can go back in time, find anybody you want, as long as I interview them. Season two is coming up Thursday, October 13th. We got Keith Olbermann and Dan Patrick together again. Sue Bird is involved. Rex Chapman, Dan Lebatard, Katie Nolan, Allison Becker. Sorry for all the others I interviewed who I left out. Oh, yeah, Soledad O'Brien. She was good. Get it on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, it's Kenny Mayne. I'm the host of Hey Mayne, the Kenny Mayne Talks to Famous People podcast. Season one's out there in the universe. You can go back in time, find anybody you want, as long as I interview them. Season two is coming up Thursday, October 13th. We got Keith Olbermann and Dan Patrick together again. Sue Bird is involved. Rex Chapman, Dan Lebatard, Katie Nolan, Allison Becker. Sorry for all the others I interviewed who I left out. Oh, yeah, Soledad O'Brien. She was good. Get it on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, it's Kenny Mayne. I'm the host of Hey Mayne, the Kenny Mayne Talks to Famous People podcast. Season one's out there in the universe. You can go back in time, find anybody you want, as long as I interview them. Season two is coming up Thursday, October 13th. We got Keith Olbermann and Dan Patrick together again. Sue Bird is involved. Rex Chapman, Dan Lebatard, Katie Nolan, Allison Becker. Sorry for all the others I interviewed who I left out. Oh, yeah, Soledad O'Brien. She was good. Get it on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
You can think of Riley Auto Parts for your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Let's get to a news brief.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
The Green Bay Packers are 3-4. The Green Bay Packers are 3-4.
They're also on a three-game losing streak. Lost to the Giants, lost to the Jets, and then lost to Taylor Heineke and the Washington Commanders. Uh-oh. Aaron Rodgers thinks their next game against the Bills could help jumpstart the offense.
I'm not worried about this squad. In fact, this might be the best thing for us. This week, you know, nobody's going to give us a chance. Going to Buffalo on Sunday Night Football, a chance to get exposed. Shoot. Might be the best thing for us.
Huh? That's how you know your team pretty much has no hope. And your team is absolutely lost when your quarterback is saying, yeah, three-game losing streak, no problem. We're going to go up against the Bills this week, and no one's going to give us a chance when we travel to Buffalo. We're already a 10.5-point underdog. Anyone see the Packers winning that game? Now, I get it. No one saw the Commanders beating the Packers, and no one saw the Panthers beating the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Maybe the Packers can cover. But to win the game outright in Buffalo against the best team in the league, against the Buffalo Bills, who are a well-rounded football team, and even if Josh Allen doesn't play a good game, they're going to get three touchdowns, and you have Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis? What? Like, can you see the Packers going to Buffalo and scoring four touchdowns? Because you're going to need four touchdowns bare minimum to win the game. Can you see this offense putting together four touchdown drives against Buffalo?
Absolutely not. No chance.
Uh-oh.
You seen
it? Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no, 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 no.
You seen this team scoring 30 points?
Bills Mafia. That's Hickey. Now, I don't see them scoring that many points, but Hickey just said no shot, no chance.
No chance.
Even though you've been batting below the Mendoza line this year when it comes to NFL predictions, I think you'll be right on that one. The only way they score four touchdowns is if the Bills hang like 48, 50 points, and then in garbage time, the Packers pick up a few touchdowns. Maybe that's what Aaron Rodgers meant. We're going to be down by so much, and we'll figure things out in the fourth quarter when we actually put together some touchdown drives. When the Bills have their second and third string players in there. Maybe that's what he meant by that hot take, Ike. Thoughts on that?
I mean, I guess if we're just asking for 30 points, it doesn't matter any which way you get them, right? Whether it's coming off of a 20-point blowout or in a close game.
I guess you're right. We go from one 3-4 team with the legendary quarterback to another 3-4 team with the GOAT, Tom Brady, on the feeling of being 3-4 through seven games for the first time since 2002.
I'm sure there was a lot of things we didn't do right, so no one feels good about where we're at. No one feels good about how we played or what we're doing. So we're all in it together, man. We got to go pour ourselves out of it.
All I'm going to say, TB12, is the Patriots aren't 3-4. Now, if they lose tonight, they'd be 3-4. But if they win, they'd be 4-3. That's all I'm saying. Brady, come back. Yeah, it's not going to happen. He is a free agent, though, at the end of the year. As the Patriots are playing the Bears, and the Bears are actually on the move at the Patriots 40 right now. So the Bears have actually gotten the Patriots side of the field tonight. It's a positive start for the Chicago Bears. What's more stunning to you? The Bucks being at 3-4 or the Packers being at 3-4?
I will say the Bucks, in part because even though we were down in the Packers, we looked at that schedule. And that schedule, I think even with me not even a believer, it's like 12, 13 wins when we played the game.
Yeah.
Still, with that said, like the Buccaneers, I thought it would be way better.
I would agree. Now, I still have more confidence in the Buccaneers to turn it around compared to the Packers because the Bucs are still a shoo-in for the postseason because they play in the crappy NFC South. Not that the NFC North is this creme de la creme conference, but the Vikings already have a win up against the Packers. The Vikings are 5-1. As long as Kirk Cousins doesn't choke it away, they should be a lock to win that division. Let's go to Todd Bowles on the emotions after losing to the Panthers.
It's a dark day for us losing the way we did and the mistakes that we had that we shouldn't have had. And, you know, you can't do nothing but pick your shirt up by the tail. We own it. We have to own it to a man. We have to stand up here and own it and make no excuses. And we just got to start digging.
His voice is always the same, no matter win or lose. It's very Belichick-like. But when you're annoyed and frustrated, you could show that a little bit, coach. No problem with that. Mike McDaniel evaluates how Tua Tagovailoa played in his first game back as the Miami Dolphins got a 16-10 victory against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
If he wasn't so prepared and hadn't put himself in the position of playing quarterback when he was out, he wouldn't have been able to have any sort of success like that.
And Tua Tagovailoa says he was rusty in his first game back.
Not being able to play two games does have an effect on my performance in a way that I haven't seen full speed reps, in practice where guys are coming to hit me.
The Dolphins have a lot of talent. And I know Tyreek Hill didn't have his best game. Jalen Waddle played fine last night. I just wonder where they're going to be at the end of the year. Because they started the year off 3-0. Then you had the Tua injury. They get to 3-3. And then he comes back last night. He gets a victory. Now 4-3. It's still playoffs or bust. And I got to see this team make the playoffs at the end of the year for this to be a success. Now, do they have a head start before the Tua injury? Absolutely. And they lost some of that momentum. But I still expect that team to be in that conversation of a playoff team, or if they don't make the playoffs with the talent they have in that roster, would be disappointing. Dak Prescott is back. Slow start up against the Lions. They eventually pull away. They win the game 24-6. Here is Dak saying his thumb wasn't an issue during the game.
Felt great. I felt comfortable with everything. Thumb definitely didn't bother me. Wasn't a thought in my head. Felt like after a few throws, I was back into it. And that drive before halftime, I felt like I made a few that just said, "Hey, we're good to go. Don't think about anything again."
I just told you about the Dolphins and how we're going to talk about them at the end of the year. I wonder if we talk about the Cowboys at the end of the year. Because McCarthy did a good job in the absence of Dak Prescott. Cooper Rush only lost one game. The Cowboys, I don't think I look at them as a team that is going to get to the Super Bowl. But that NFC is wide open. Eagles are 6-0. Giants are 6-1. Cowboys are 5-2. Vikings are 5-1. Packers underperforming. Bucks underperforming. The entire NFC West, other than the Seattle Seahawks, underachieving. It's open. But now can you take advantage of the situations with your coach and your quarterback? That we shall see. Brandon Staley, I think his days are numbered with the Los Angeles Chargers. This team should be much better than 4-3. And I think Sean Payton's probably licking his chops right now, hoping he could be the next head coach of that organization. Brandon Staley on his message to the team after getting thumped by the Seahawks as they head into a bye week.
Reason why we are 4-3 and not 5-2 is because we didn't play good enough football today. We didn't coach well enough today. And what we need to do is get rested, okay, take advantage of the bye and get rested, and then come back as a team and really focus on playing the way we're capable of playing.
He sounds like an elementary school teacher there, Hot Take Hickey. We got to get rested. We didn't play well as a team. We got to prepare. We didn't get rested. We got to get healthy. I don't think he meant to come off condescending, but he sounded condescending there.
I like when he said, oh, the reason why we didn't win is because we didn't play good football. Thanks, coach.
Yeah.
Missed that one.
He has all the answers, man. Let me tell you, that Brandon Staley, jeez, he's a wonderful head coach. Brian Daboll says, despite the win, there's plenty of room left for improvement as the New York Giants are 6-1.
Took care of the ball defensively, got the ball out there when they were going into the red zone, had a critical fourth down stop. So, again, critical moments. That was good, but we gave up too many yards. We didn't capitalize in the red zone. Didn't finish the game the way we should have finished the game. So, you know, there's always things to clean up.
I like everything about Brian Daboll so far. At 6-1, he could be saying, yeah, I'm the man. I'm great. We're the best. But he knows that team was down 17-13. I had to grind one out against the Jacksonville Jaguars. I like it. That's a coach that says, yeah, I know we're exceeding all expectations, but it's still not good enough. We could be better. Now, I will say, he was out in the parking lot after the game with a victory cigar, which I absolutely love, and mixing it up with the fans. So he can find a way to enjoy his team's success. But in front of the media, yeah, we could be better. We got to do a better job executing. There's a lot of room left for improvement. That's where you need a guy that just hits on everything right when it comes to the culture of the Giants and restoring Big Blue. Darius Slayton joined myself and I on football yesterday. And I asked him, what has Daniel Jones proved so far to this team through the first seven games of the season?
That, you know, he is who we always knew he was. You know what I'm saying? When you're not getting the wins like he was over these past few years, you know, it's easy to look at a team or an individual player and be like, oh, they must be not very good because they're not winning. But, you know, we've been knew he was a good player, knew he was a good quarterback, and I'm just happy that we've been able to get these wins and, you know, him start to get some of the credit he deserves.
Daniel Jones isn't great, but he's playing good football right now. And he's playing efficient football, too. And you saw the threat that he has with his legs, over 100 rushing yards yesterday, did a good job throwing for 200 yards, had a big touchdown pass early on to Darius Slayton. Beautiful throw, nice catch by Slayton. At the end of the year, though, he's a free agent because they declined his fifth-year option. At this point, I think the Giants have to bring him back. Now, I'm not giving him a long-term extension, and it's a lot to put him on a franchise tag, but that's what you may have to do. Let's hear from Frank Reich. As the Indianapolis Colts lose a big game once again to an AFC South team. Surprise, surprise. The only one actually surprised by that is Hickey. But now here is the surprise. Matt Ryan, go grab some bench. Frank Reich on why the Colts are making a change at the quarterback and going to Sam Ehlinger.
Our poor production on offense is not on one person. It's not on Matt Ryan. But we also know, as Matt and I talked it through, hey, as head coach and quarterback, as head coach, ultimately it doesn't matter. I'm judged on wins and losses. Quarterbacks judged on points and, you know, and production and turnovers. That's, we understand that's how it is in this league.
Hickey, that sounds to me like Frank Reich saying, we're not winning. I'm going to lose my job because I don't think you're going to turn it around. So I have to go to something else because I'm judged on wins and losses. And right now we're just not really winning enough games. That's how I took that quote.
I don't know how much of it is Frank's decision. I think if it was up to him, he would still play Matt Ryan. I think this is Jim Irsay.
You think, I know Jim Irsay got Carson Wentz off the team, and that was a brilliant move by by one Jim Irsay because Carson Wentz stinks. Now, bringing in Matt Ryan, not the greatest thing in the world, but I think it was the best out of the options that you had at the time. You think Jim is forcing Sam Ehlinger onto the team based off of what? Not like it's a hot commodity in Sam Ehlinger.
But exactly right. I think Jim's just frustrated because it's the same old with this offense. They stink. They're one of the worst scoring offenses in the NFL. But Sam Ehlinger's not ready to play. Like, this is like, he's supposed to be a developmental quarterback. This is like, he's on like year one
of
a 2-year development.
Is that a theory that's being floated around
plan.
Inside your name Colts universe that this is Jim Irsay today?
I'm not even sure if that's a theory. I would say more of an assumption.
Oh, okay. So that's not like you heard that somewhere or.
Oh, no. But I think most Colts fans would assume this is Jim Irsay driven, not Frank Reich driven.
Really?
Yes.
Well, it does seem wacky. And wacky and Jim Irsay are kind of synonymous.
And Ehlinger's not good.
Yeah.
This seems like a tank move.
But if you're Matt Ryan, don't you then say to your owner, we're not doing that? And if you get fired, so be it. Like, you get paid either way. Don't you try to go down?
Well, I don't know if Frank thinks that this is going to maybe save his job or not.
He's a dead man walking. He's,
I'd agree,
the
but
the they should just fire him now.
Jim Irsay wants something done. I mean,
seriously, this guy, Frank Reich, he's an overrated coach. The fact that you thought he was a top 10 coach is laughable. And it's a guy that he never has his teams prepared. They get off to slow starts constantly. This year, they're getting outscored in the first half 98-39. They tied with the Texans. They lost to the Jaguars. They got blanked in Jacksonville. Then they had to come from behind to beat the Jaguars this year. And they lost to Tennessee twice. We're only 7 weeks into the season. Time for a change. Get rid of the coach. That's a change that should have been made today. And I might even say Matt Ryan's good. I think Matt Ryan's washed. But there's no reason on keeping Frank Reich as his head coach. And finally, Tyler Boyd did join yours truly and I on football yesterday and says the Bengals, who are now 4-3 and their wide receivers went off yesterday, Joe Burrow with a monster game, that they do have three number one wide receivers on the roster.
I think the key thing is just all three of us, well, the whole room is just very unselfishness in the room. You know, we all root for each other. Whoever had that big game, you know, we're all happy for one another, you know. And in the game, like you said, we got three number one receivers, you know, guys that can take over the game at any given time, you know. So we just continue to just keep each other going and just rallying off each other.
It is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Hickey, you're already starting to upset those in Bills Mafia. Adam Ritchie, 1999 on Twitter. Hickey, you SOB in all caps. Don't you dare jinx my Buffalo Bills. People are afraid of the Hickey Mush already.
I mean, come on. The Bills fans got to be better than that. Have some confidence in your own team.
Yeah, but I don't know if you're the right person to preach confidence in people's teams because you always have confidence in the Colts, and year in and year out, they let you down. You're like the kid on Christmas that you always think you're getting the PlayStation 5, and then you wake up on Christmas Day saying, okay, this is actually going to be the year that Santa's going to bring me the PlayStation 5, and you get like a jar of maple syrup and some coal.
But if that's just, I think, highlights your point even more. Like, if I can have faith in a Colts team right now that cannot put two good quarters together, Bills fans should have absolute confidence that they can absolutely stop Aaron Rodgers and this awful offense.
Sure, but you having faith, and I'm saying this in the most polite way possible, is just stupidity at this point. The fact that you keep on going back to the well expecting that this team's going to impress you and that you're actually going to beat Tennessee, that has just dominated you, has won five straight, I don't get how you keep on going to that point. And I was actually disappointed in you because I thought we were trying to start to get you turned around a little bit. Like you said, in week two, they're going to lose to Jacksonville. And I go, wow. He's actually showing some critical voice and a critical thought with this team. But before the game yesterday, when I see you tweeting out that they were going to beat the Tennessee Titans, I'm like, uh-oh. We made a big step forward, and then we just took two steps back. Anyway, we'll get Hickey's reaction on the Colts benching Matt Ryan coming up later on in the show. And if now he's actually full-on believing in the tank mode that I suggested to him 2 weeks ago. But when we do come on back, we have to do one word on 10 NFL teams.
Hey, it's Kenny Mayne. I'm the host of Hey Mayne, the Kenny Mayne Talks to Famous People podcast. Season one's out there in the universe. You can go back in time, find anybody you want, as long as I interview them. Season two is coming up Thursday, October 13th. We got Keith Olbermann and Dan Patrick together again. Sue Bird is involved. Rex Chapman, Dan Lebatard, Katie Nolan, Allison Becker. Sorry for all the others I interviewed who I left out. Oh, yeah, Soledad O'Brien. She was good. Get it on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, it's Kenny Mayne. I'm the host of Hey Mayne, the Kenny Mayne Talks to Famous People podcast. Season one's out there in the universe. You can go back in time,
Find anybody you want as long as I interview them. Season 2 is coming up Thursday, October 13th. We got Keith Olbermann and Dan Patrick together again. Sue Bird is involved. Rex Chapman, Dan Lebatard, Katie Nolan, Allison Becker. Sorry for all the others I interviewed who I left out. Oh, yeah, Soledad O'Brien. She was good. Get it on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, it's Kenny Mayne. I'm the host of Hey Mayne, the Kenny Mayne Talks to Famous People podcast. Season 1's out there in the universe. You can go back in time, find anybody you want as long as I interview them. Season 2 is coming up Thursday, October 13th. We got Keith Olbermann and Dan Patrick together again. Sue Bird is involved. Rex Chapman, Dan Lebatard, Katie Nolan, Allison Becker. Sorry for all the others I interviewed who I left out. Oh, yeah, Soledad O'Brien. She was good. Get it on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
This season, for the first time, you can hear every Westwood One NFL broadcast stream live for free Mondays, Thursdays, Sunday nights, the International Series, Holiday Triple Headers, and every postseason game. Catch all the action on the Odyssey app on westwoodonesports.com via Westwood One station streams or by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports, all sponsored by AutoZone. It's time to say goodnight to that check engine light with the free AutoZone Fix Finder service. It will help troubleshoot the likely cause of your light for free. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone. AutoZone in the fog in Foxborough. The Chicago Bears have taken a commanding early lead, 10-0 on the New England Patriots. So far for Mac Jones, who is starting at quarterback for the Pats, two drives, and they've both been three and outs, as Justin Fields just had a rushing touchdown to make it 10-0. So the Patriots about to get the ball back, and I'm starting to hear chants in Foxborough. We want Zappy. We want Zappy. Now, I'm just reporting you the information. That's my true feelings on the situation. I would ride with Mac Jones, but they did win two games with Bailey Zappi. And this team's only 3-3. I know, albeit it was against the Browns and the Lions, but this Bears team is not a good team. And we'll see if Mac Jones can turn this thing around. Still 2:05 left in the first quarter. I will say this. Maxwell doesn't look 100%. There was one player, he got up, he was limping a little bit. So I don't know how truly healthy he is coming off that ankle injury. And Bailey Zappi does have a helmet on the sideline, and he's looking down at a play sheet, but it is Mac Jones entering the field. Okay, let's get to a little NFL music. So Hickey has come up with 10 teams, and he wants me to give one word each per team. So let's hear the 10 teams that he selected. Team number one.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Sloppy. That's the word. It's sloppy. Their offensive approach looks sloppy. You do have Mike Evans dropping what would have been an easy long touchdown to start off the game. Defensively, they're even starting to look sloppy. The coach, Todd Bowles, he's coaching sloppy. Brady looks like he's not fully invested. It's just been a sloppy effort all around this year. I would say sloppy. They're 3-4. They may be able to get organized a little bit, and they will win the NFC South, but you know what the standard is for Brady each and every year. It's Super Bowl or bust, but they are sloppy right now.
From one great quarterback that's struggling to another, the Green Bay Packers.
Lifeless. That's my word. They just give you zero hope. Rodgers, after the games, you look for him to give and show some leadership and speak some confidence. Even when he tries to do so, it's not the case. But that offense has no life. Even like Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon, one of the two constants on that offense outside of Rodgers, aren't playing well. And you could tell that Aaron Rodgers does not trust his wide receivers. So I go lifeless.
Let's go from negative to a positive. The New York Giants.
Coaching. My word for them is coaching. And it shows you what a good coach can do. This is not a talented roster. They don't have a bevy of talent. They should not have a 6-1 record, but there's a belief in Brian Daboll, and Brian Daboll is clearly believing in his guys believe in him, and that's leading them to find a way to grind out these games where they're all close, they're coming from behind, and they get the job done. It's belief, and it's the confidence in the coach, so I go coaching with Brian Daboll.
What word would you describe the Seattle Seahawks with?
Can I give you a few here? Hickey was wrong. I mean, sorry. You just want one word, right?
One word is the game.
Redemption. This is redemption for Pete Carroll. Sure. Russell Wilson's a good quarterback. But ever since leaving Pete Carroll, you're starting to see maybe it wasn't all Pete's fault. Maybe it all wasn't the Seahawks' fault. And those guys are redeeming their coach, and they're having some redemption and showing, Russ, you thought you were leaving us and you were going to go from the outhouse to the penthouse? You wish you were back in the outhouse right now, because the outhouse is starting to look like the penthouse compared to the Denver Broncos. So redemption for the Seahawks.
How about the Miami Dolphins?
Playoffs? You kidding me? That's what it is. It's all about the playoffs. This has to be a playoff team this year. That is what determines if this team's successful. They were 3-0. Then unfortunately, Tua gets hurt. Now he's back. They're 4-3. This is playoffs or bust. So when I think of that team, it's playoffs. They have to find a way to get to the postseason this year.
The Los Angeles Chargers.
Underachieving. That team in a wide open NFL this year should be better than 4-3. That was a bad loss yesterday to Seattle. They had a big lead up against Kansas City earlier this year. 2 10-point leads twice. I know that's not like a huge lead against Kansas City, but any other team, when you have 2 10-point leads, you'd think you'd be able to get the job done, and they weren't able to do so. They're an underachieving football team. They got blown out by the Jacksonville Jaguars. This is a reflection on a coach that may not be fit to be an NFL head coach in the year of 2022, even though he does all the analytics and he's aggressive and all that. I would say Sean Payton, you may want to get your presentation ready or just ask where you could sign your name to be the next coach of the Chargers, because this team is underachieving, and this should be one of the better teams, not only in the AFC, but in the NFL with the talent they have.
The San Francisco 49ers.
Confusing. They have a lot of talent. The 49ers do this every year where they don't look like they're going to be that good, and they find a way to get the job done. I'm not going to kill them for the loss yesterday, but with the talent they have, they should have a better record than 3-4. So I say they're confusing because I want to say that they're going to win the NFC West, but whenever you're about to get there, they lose a game like to the Falcons, which they did 2 weeks ago. So they're a confusing team to me.
How about the Kansas City Chiefs?
Tough. Like, I think the Bills and the Eagles are the two best teams in the NFL, and if Kansas City's your third best team and the second best team in the AFC, they're going to be one tough outcome postseason time because they have Patrick Mahomes. They're a tough team.
Which one word would you use to describe the New York Jets?
Building. They got a lot of young pieces. They're building towards something. Quinnen Williams, Sauce Gardner. I know Breece Hall's now out for the year. They just traded for James Robinson. You have Michael Carter at the running back spot. Garrett Wilson. Like, there's a lot of young pieces. Unfortunately, Elijah Vera Tucker now out for the year, but he was looking like he was going to be a really good offensive lineman. They have a young core. We got to see if Zach Wilson's the guy if you're a fan of the Jets. They are building, though. I like the vision that the coach and the GM does have of Robert Saleh and Joe Douglas, and that's coming from a guy that's currently wearing a Patriots sweatshirt.
And finally, the Baltimore Ravens.
Finish. This team, if they could just finish games, bare minimum 5-1, should be 6-0. Because in three of their losses this year, they're up 35-14 against the Dolphins, couldn't get the job done. They're up 20-3 against the Bills. Couldn't get the job done. They're up 20-10 in the fourth quarter up against the New York Giants. Couldn't get the job done. This is a team that is really good. This is one of the better teams in the NFL. But through the first 7 weeks of the season, they're 4-3 because they have a problem when it comes to finishing games. Those are 10 words on 10 teams in the NFL. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We will take a timeout when we come on back. 5 questions, 5 answers. We do this every Monday and Friday on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We call it Onsides Offside. Mac Jones does have the football. The Patriots, this is his third drive of the game. They are trailing 10-0. They are on the bare side of the field for the first time today at Chicago's 45-yard line. Met here with a 2nd and 9 with 14-19 remaining in the first half, and Mac Jones is off and running, and he's going to be just short, I believe, of a first down. He slid right before that yellow first down marker that they put on the TV for you. So we will have to wait and see if the Patriots do get a conversion here on third down. The protection has not been good, and Mac has been off to the races and leaving that pocket a lot. We'll see what happens the rest of the way. Bears, Patriots. 13:55 to go, 3rd and 1 upcoming for Mac and the Pats.
Hey, it's Kenny Mayne. I'm the host of Hey Mayne, the Kenny Mayne Talks to Famous People podcast. Season 1's out there in the universe. You can go back in time, find anybody you want.
as long as I interviewed them. Season 2 is coming up Thursday, October 13th. We got Keith Olbermann and Dan Patrick together again. Sue Bird is involved. Rex Chapman, Dan Lebatard, Katie Nolan, Allison Becker. Sorry for all the others I interviewed who I left out. Oh, yeah, Soledad O'Brien. She was good. Get it on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, it's Kenny Mayne. I'm the host of Hey Mayne, the Kenny Mayne Talks to Famous People podcast. Season 1's out there in the universe. You can go back in time, find anybody you want, as long as I interview them. Season 2 is coming up Thursday, October 13th. We got Keith Olbermann and Dan Patrick together again. Sue Bird is involved. Rex Chapman, Dan Lebatard, Katie Nolan, Allison Becker. Sorry for all the others I interviewed who I left out. Oh, yeah, Soledad O'Brien. She was good. Get it on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, it's Kenny Mayne. I'm the host of Hey Mayne, the Kenny Mayne Talks to Famous People podcast. Season 1's out there in the universe. You can go back in time, find anybody you want, as long as I interview them. Season 2 is coming up Thursday, October 13th. We got Keith Olbermann and Dan Patrick together again. Sue Bird is involved. Rex Chapman, Dan Lebatard, Katie Nolan, Allison Becker. Sorry for all the others I interviewed who I left out. Oh, yeah, Soledad O'Brien. She was good. Get it on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.